Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Thanks for listening to AFR on this Monday, March the 18th, 2024. And joining me in studio is Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Brother Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Fred Jackson. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm noting we all have winter sweaters on today.
Yeah.
Pulled mine back out.
We had we're having a 1 or 2 day don't forget me winter moment, right?
Freeze warning for this evening.
Yes, for where we live. Where is it? What is that? I'm sure that's going on across the country, right?
Well, down through the south, especially.
Yeah, but we have freeze warning once it gets 52. 52, they start issuing freeze warnings for you bunch of southerners, weenies. Let's see. All right, so the weather is, but it's going to improve, at least we're, and again, I think this is across the country, but I mean, 51 today, 28 tonight, 60 tomorrow, 74 on Wednesday, and then back to the 60s and 70s for the most part. So, what is it, Nova Scotia? Let me type in your hometown. What's your hometown?
Well, Halifax is the capital. That's pretty close.
Halifax, Canada. Let's see what Halifax, Canada's got going on. You know, it's 45 there. It's 46 here in Tupelo, and it's 45 in Halifax.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah, but last weekend it was snowing in Halifax.
Yeah.
Well, you got us there.
I'm looking at Halifax. It ain't gonna, springtime ain't there yet.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
It's 40, 35, 25. Anyway.
I'm not exaggerating. There have been winters in Nova Scotia, and I'm from the eastern part of Nova Scotia, Cape Breton Island, where there has been snow on the mountains in early June.
In the mountains.
Yep.
Isn't it a song, Snow on the Mountains, Run Boy Run? Or is that Fire on the Mountain? I think it's Fire on
Fire
the Mountain.
On the mountain.
Mm. Run, somebody run. I don't know what I'm talking about.
No, I vaguely recall
Devil's
that.
In the House of the Rising Sun. You don't remember this?
I do. Now that you keep adding
was
stuff
that Charlie Daniels? Was that Charlie Daniels? Okay.
Brent Creeley, our resident expert on country music.
But that wasn't producer. That wasn't Devil Goes Down to Georgia. There's two different songs, right?
La, 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 la.
The same song?
Run, Boy, Run.
Okay, you remember that? Was it Run, Boy, Run?
I don't know. Whatever it was.
Yeah. Anyway, all right.
I was a rock and roller, you know.
You were doing Led Zeppelin in Boston back in the day, huh? Back way, way back in the day.
Back. Well, my favorite in high school, my favorite group was Kiss.
Yeah.
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 What, your parents go along with that okay? Were they okay?
My dad just kind of ignored, as long as I didn't grow my hair long.
Right.
And as long as I stayed away from that hippie weed.
Yeah. He let you have a little Kiss.
Yeah. He of course, my bedroom was upstairs. All our bedrooms were upstairs. We had a two-level house. And he was down in the TV room while I was doing my homework or whatever. Right. And watching TV. But if he had to come upstairs for something and I had my stereo blasting,
right,
boom, boom, boom on the door. Turn that down. that noise or something. Yes, sir. No, we actually didn't say yes, sir, no, no, ma'am, or anything like that. I'd say, yeah, okay.
All right. Well, listen, we hope everybody had a nice weekend. And the spring is officially here, by the way, fellas.
Is it?
You know that? Yeah.
Today?
The 21st, right?
Yeah. I mean, whatever determines the spring actually being here, the equinox?
Spring equinox.
Equinox, you know. Equinox. Well, the equinox, they migrated south, and now we know that spring is here. Spring is officially here. Wasn't yesterday St. Patrick's Day?
Yes.
It was.
Yes.
So that. Yep. That's, sometimes St. Patrick's Day marks the official. You know,
we measure spring at our house with hummingbirds.
Uh huh.
I think it's tomorrow.
My wife tracks them, okay. coming back from the south.
Okay.
And they're in the neighborhood now.
What is?
Hummingbirds.
Hummingbirds.
Yes.
Where have they been?
Down in Mexico.
Oh.
Yeah. They packed their bags.
Vacationing in Mexico, the hummingbirds.
That's right.
I love it when the hummingbirds come back. I let loose all my pet praying mantises. That's an inside joke, folks.
Go ahead, cats. Get there.
My wife loves, I do too, the hummingbirds. She puts out the feeders. Uh-huh. I just sit in my recliner sometimes and just watch them smash into one another. If like there's no hockey game on, I'll just
do they wrestle like that?
They'll bump chests.
They're very aggressive.
Full speed.
Well, you can have these feeders with about four different troughs on them.
Right.
And they all fight over one.
There's a bully.
Yeah.
I'll watch him. He'll sit in the tree, and then if another hummingbird comes over, he zips on over to chase him off.
Oh, I know.
But if their wings clash, it's trouble.
Clash of the wings.
I'm telling you, those wings going 1,000 miles an hour.
Yeah.
1,000 flaps a second, whatever it is.
It's amazing.
All right, Fred, what's happening in the world here?
Let's go to the Supreme Court, the United States Supreme Court hearing arguments today in a lawsuit filed by Louisiana, Missouri. And this is quite interesting, folks, because it goes back to COVID days when social media was restricting any opposing points of view to what the Biden administration was putting out. And we're all familiar with that. And Missouri Senator Eric Schmidt talks a little bit about what this case is really all about. Cut number 7.
It's the most important free speech case in our lifetime because it involves some of the highest ranking government officials in our country colluding and coercing with some of the biggest social media companies in the world to suppress millions of posts. Some of them wanted to kind of take some of these down, but there were instances where they were actually pushing back and the government said, do it or else.
Yeah, it's, as I say, we all know examples of certain treatments that were mentioned, and the government's used, the allegation is at least, and I think there's some proof, going to social media and saying, take that down. Of course, people were bumped off of YouTube and other social media for even mentioning it on the air.
Yeah, if this is true, and I think it is, but if the government was forcing social media companies to do its bidding, the government's bidding, to suppress speech that is different from the Biden administration, it is clearly unconstitutional. But what we've also been seeing, now this is before the Supreme Court, right? Mm-hmm. So hopefully the court will vote to protect free speech, because you sure can't rely on the Biden administration to police itself. That administration and the people on the far left who are now running the Democratic Party will do whatever they can get away with.
Uh-huh.
And if the Supreme Court does not rein them in, free speech in this country really is in jeopardy.
Remember when we were afraid to say ivermectin?
As far as we know, that's what got us bounced off YouTube.
Yeah.
Because we had a discussion about doctors saying ivermectin helps if you've got COVID.
Yes.
Now, I will say this. YouTube never would officially tell us what it was, but Brent Creeley, our producer, you were in contact with YouTube at the time, and they said only that we had violated their community standards.
Community guidelines.
Community guidelines, but they did say which particular day's program was the culprit, didn't they? Do you remember?
Not back then, but this latest go-around we had with YouTube, they did.
Okay.
So back then, when all that was going on in 2020, they wouldn't specify anything.
Okay.
They just say you violated community standards.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're pretty sure that the discussion we had on a certain day was what pushed them over the edge. So.
And that's what's scary. I mean, we mentioned what Trudeau did in Canada with the truckers dispute.
Right.
They had unacceptable views.
Yes.
And that's pretty scary in a country that treasures free speech to be told, we're not even going to allow your opinion and we will punish you. Because what Trudeau did basically is we're going after your bank accounts.
Right.
Because we don't like your point of view.
Froze them, right?
Yes, yes. And this is the kind of thing. And so we're going to be watching this case before the Supreme Court. I assume they will render a decision by June on this. But this is because a lot of people think there's another COVID-like era that's coming. Somebody was mentioned on the weekend about measles being the next one. That's a possibility.
Well, the World Health Organization has been, and other health organizations, most of which connected to the United Nations, have been warning about like virus X.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like they are. Now, I understand that health organizations want to make sure if another virus or bacterial outbreak was dangerous. I'm okay with having plans in place. How do we deal with it?
Mm-hmm.
And so I understand that when they say virus X, they mean we don't know what it'll be, but it will be something someday. But there are people, and I no longer think of these folks as conspiracy nuts. There are people who are very anxious about the World Health Organization, other UN agencies being given by the Biden administration control over our response.
Yes.
Now, I don't think that's a conspiracy theory. I think the Biden administration would do that even without Senate approval if they could get away with it.
Yep. And we are told that a possible final vote, World Health Organization, the Biden administration being willing to give them that authority that they decide how to handle a pandemic.
Right.
That vote is coming up as early as May, just a couple of months away.
Well, listen, the World Health Organization, other organizations can suggest all they want.
Mm-hmm.
There is no way the majority of Americans in this country are willing to cede national sovereignty to an international organization. But the Bidens are globalists.
Yes.
The Biden administration, his administration, filled with these globalists, this globalist ilk.
All right, next story, Fred.
Well, I think evangelical Christians who support Israel were absolutely shocked late last week when Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, who is the oldest serving Jewish individual in Congress, got up in the Senate and condemned Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and called for new elections in Israel. It was shocking what he said. Here's a little bit of Chuck Schumer from last week. Cut four.
Prime Minister Netanyahu has lost his way by allowing his political survival to take the precedence over the best interests of Israel. 5 months into this conflict, it is clear that Israelis need to take stock of the situation and ask, must we change course? At this critical juncture, I believe a new election is the only way to allow for a healthy and open decision-making process about the future of Israel.
I was shocked. And so were many who support to have Chuck Schumer, the Senate Majority Leader. You talk about election interference. Here is Benjamin Netanyahu, who is quarterbacking this war against Hamas terrorists who massacred more than 1,200 Israeli men, women, and children. And in the middle of all of this, because Benjamin Netanyahu is not playing the game that the Biden administration wants him to play. He is fighting terrorists. And by the way, he has the Israeli people behind him. But Schumer suggesting that Netanyahu has lost his way and the Israeli people ought to call for an election right now in the midst of all of this. It was amazing.
Yeah. Do we have the response from?
We do.
Okay.
He do.
We're going to hear now the response by Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, to Chuck Schumer's call for a new election, basically called to get rid of Netanyahu. Let's hear that.
I think what he said is totally inappropriate. It's inappropriate for to go to a sister democracy and try to replace the elected leadership there. That's something that Israel, the Israeli public, does on its own. And we're not a banana republic. And as far as what Senator Schumer said, The majority of Israelis support our governments. 82% of Americans support Israel instead of Hamas.
From the president of the United States, he called what Schumer said a good speech. He said that he shared the concern of many Americans. They aren't criticizing Israel. They're criticizing you and your right-wing coalition.
Dana, there's a fallacy that is being perpetrated here. And you should take polls. You'll have your own polls. Most Israelis overwhelmingly support the position that we have to go in. And I'll tell you the other fallacy is, they're saying, well, most Palestinians don't support the Hamas massacre. In fact, 85% of the Palestinians do support, unfortunately, the Hamas massacre. No, it's look, that's something for the Israeli people to decide. I think it's ridiculous to talk about it.
That was Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel. Like you're saying, here's Chuck Schumer, a Jew.
Yes.
Who is the Senate Majority Leader, a very powerful position, taking a position publicly. He was speaking in the Senate floor. Israel needs new elections. They need new leadership, basically, is what he's saying. They voted no confidence by the Senate Majority Leader against Benjamin Netanyahu. It's over the tactical decisions of the Israeli government led by Netanyahu on how to best remove Hamas. And, you know, what I would like to hear from Benjamin Netanyahu, from Schumer and these others who are Hamas apologists, is what I would call them. First thing I'd like to hear from them is, I demand that Hamas release all the hostages immediately. Then we can begin to discuss a possible ceasefire. But until such time, a ceasefire is not is a non-starter. What? So there's no call. It doesn't seem to me like there's any call for Hamas to stop doing anything. It's the burden's all on Israel by these people.
People like Schumer. And frankly, now Joe Biden, who's come under intense pressure from the far left in his party, he's far left too, but there's absolutely no pressure being put on Hamas. Nobody's saying anything about what you just said, release the hostages. How about Hamas, lay down your arms,
right, surrender.
How about Hamas, step down from power in Gaza, give it to,
right.
Some other group, and then agree that Israel has a right to exist.
Yeah.
And then the fighting can stop.
Right.
But Schumer isn't saying that.
Yeah, he's just putting all the burden on Israel.
You know what? What if Benjamin Netanyahu, in response, said, after Joe Biden's comments, said, you know what? I think Joe Biden has lost his marbles. I'm calling on the American people to defeat Joe Biden in November.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What do you think Schumer and the others would do? It'd be outrage on the left.
Right. Quit interfering with American elections.
Rightfully
yes.
so.
Yes. Right.
But here we are, Senate Majority Leader. What amazes me again, the Jews on the left, and most of them are, they seem to be self-loathing. I don't get it.
Yep.
Really.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to be as opposed to Israel as much as the non-Jews. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
But I think what happened on October the 7th has even brought some of those more liberal Jews to the side of it. They understand that if Israel agrees to an extended ceasefire right now, what will happen? It just gives Hamas an opportunity to reform. I mean, like you say, the hostages, why not demand that all hostages be released and Israel says we'll back away?
Right.
But that's not even on the table.
Yeah.
Now, John Fetterman is from Pennsylvania, the senator.
Yes.
Isn't he Jewish?
I'm not sure if he's Jewish, but he is a defender of Israel.
But he came out in defense of Israel's actions.
Yeah.
So there are some in the Democratic Party who see things clearly, I think.
Well, the other problem in the Democratic Party, and some people are saying Schumer did this to appease the pro-Palestinian side, the Rashida Tlaibs and others, the Democratic Party has an internal anti-Israel problem right now. And Schumer was addressing this. Biden endorsed Schumer's speech. He endorsed, within hours after that speech, Biden endorsed that speech.
Yeah, Biden is trying to walk. He's trying to ride the fence. He's going more to the pro Hamas, pro ceasefire side with his comments. At first, same thing, supportive of Israel in their response to the massacre that took place on October the 7th.
Yes.
October the 7th, right.
October 7th.
October the 7th. But almost after day one, day two, day three, he began to backpedal because of the pressure from people within his own party. So we'll see where this goes. But Schumer, that's stunning. He's calling for new elections in Israel. And like you said, Fred, what if Benjamin Netanyahu said Biden needs to step down? We need a new leadership in the U.S.
Or any Democratic leader in the world said this about Joe Biden.
Right.
The outcry, the media right. in the United States would go ballistic. Right.
Quit messing with American elections.
John Fetterman is not Jewish, according to this Newsmax.
But he is very pro-Israel.
But he's very pro-Israel.
Yeah.
Very pro-Israel. And he's very pro-hoodie.
Yes, too. He is.
Huh?
Hoodie and shorts.
Hoodie and shorts.
Can expect to see the...
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, and Fred, thank you for listening. You guys been paying attention to what's happening in Haiti?
Oh.
Yeah?
It's ugly. Talk about a blood.
Haiti is, you know, is an island in the Caribbean. Well, it's half an island.
Mm-hmm.
Because the island itself is separated by the Dominican Republic on one side and the Haiti,
yes,
Haiti on the other side. Well, Haiti has become they're the poorest nation in the Western Hemisphere, so poverty has been there forever, and they change, quote, governments a lot because of the coups that take place. And but now, it's just the wild, wild west over there. You got, I don't know how many millions of people live in Haiti. Any idea what the population is there in Haiti? But it's anyway, refugees from Haiti are going.
11.5 million
people
in 2021.
All right. The Florida is worried because they're going to see more Haitians now on rafts and makeshift boats.
Yeah.
Trying to make it to the U.S.
Yeah.
Because of the political violence that exists in Haiti. Let me ask you this. Would this not be a real situation of asylum, political asylum, under normal circumstances? When you have like...
Yes, that's traditionally what asylum... I'm not sure if anyone fleeing a civil war, I think you are allowed to ask for asylum. I do know for sure if you can demonstrate that you yourself are in danger by being politically targeted, you can usually get asylum. I'm talking about the old rules before Joe Biden went into office. I'm honestly not sure if you can just say I'm fleeing a civil war and I want to
Is the U.S. under any obligation to take everybody?
No, that's why they're supposed to go before these judges, and they are.
What do you do in the interim?
Well, I think you're supposed to wait. You can't enter. There used to be you couldn't enter the country, until you had your hearing, and then yes or no, and then you'd have to go back.
I know, but do you wait in a boat off the coast?
No, I think they had. I think they had
holding places.
I think they had places that you could. But it wasn't like thousands like we're talking about now. Even under Trump, they had to wait in Mexico before their hearing so they could be told, yes, you can, no, you can't.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues, to the program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. A lot more to talk about. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
According to a recent study of hundreds of post-abortive women, 60% of women reported that they would have preferred to give birth if they had received more support from others or had more financial security. And that's where Preborn steps in. Preborn is there for women in their darkest hour, deciding between the life and death of their precious child. You see, the reality is women are being pressured to make this fatal decision and are being told that their babies are just a clump of cells. Preborn welcomes women with God's love and introduces them to the beautiful life growing inside of them, which doubles their baby's chance at life. When you support Preborn, you not only support women, you empower them. Your donation of $28 will help a woman to make a choice that she won't have to regret for the rest of her life and gives her the ultimate blessing, life. Your love can save a life. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, and Fred. Hey, our spiritual heritage tours are filling up. So if you want to go with us this year, you need to get on board. So the trips are to D.C. and George Washington's Mount Vernon. We see all the sites of our nation's capital. And then we're also going to go to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown on a separate trip. The trips are back-to-back. The tours are back-to-back if you want to do both. Some people, you know, fly from around the country and they want to do the whole week with us. We'll take care of you for the whole week if you'd like to do both of those tours. So that's in June and September. For all the information, the itinerary, the cost, everything you need to know, the website is spiritualheritagetours.com. Again, we're filling up for this year. We got them in June and September. If you would like to go with us, I host them with my wife, Allison, our sons, and then Stephen and Beth McDowell of the Providence Foundation go as well. SpiritualHeritageTours.com is the website. Tim, Ed, and Fred, we thank you for listening to American Family Radio. We were just talking before the break about the chaos that's happening in Haiti, and you guys said how many people live there?
It's almost 11.5 million. That was in 2021. I'm not sure how often they do a census, but.
And now Florida is bracing for a lot of boats coming from with people desperate to leave Haiti because of the political violence. They're trying to make it to the shores of Florida. I don't know what happens to them then, but I've heard Governor DeSantis talking about this as well.
Turn them back is what they're trying to do as far as Florida goes.
Where do you turn them back to?
You just don't let them. As soon as they're, my understanding is if they put a foot on the shore, that they have to let them stay. But if they catch them offshore.
They escort them back or something?
Escort them back, I guess. But there is a Haitian-related story in the news right now. A 26-year-old Haitian that was brought into the country a couple of months ago under President Biden's controversial what's called the CHNV parole program. That stands for Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela. Remember we talked about this, that the Biden administration flying thousands of people into the country?
Right.
Well, this one guy who's been identified as Corey Alvarez, 26-year-old Haitian, is now charged with raping a teen at a Massachusetts hotel that was housing migrants, charged last week. So we're just going to hear more and more about this. There are now several incidents in this country where those who have entered the country illegally, or in this case being brought in under this refugee program, are now facing charges. In this case, it's rape, but there are murder charges. Of course, we heard the horrible case in Georgia just in the last few weeks, but there's some other jurisdictions now that are dealing with these illegals. This is an absolutely huge election issue for the Biden administration. They're still trying to waltz away from this, trying to blame the Republicans for not going along with Biden's proposals, this bill that he wants more money for border security. But, you know, Ed, I just feel that the American people, they have knowledge now of what's going on. They have seen what's happened at our southern border for the last for the last 3 years. And they have seen, this is hard to believe, millions streaming into this country.
More than 7 million.
More than 7 million streaming into this country. And they know, under former President Trump, he had executive orders in place that stopped this. And now Joe Biden, in his first days in office in 21, lifted all of those executive orders, opened the gates. Everybody remembers that during the debates prior to 2020, that Joe Biden promised he would invite a surge
right
at the border. That was his terms. I invite a surge at the border. Well, he orchestrated, Joe Biden orchestrated an invasion of this country.
Yeah, and when I say 7 million, that may be our best guess. Nobody really knows how many have come across that border. Look, the Biden administration is going to have a very difficult time making the accusations stick that this is the fault of the Republicans, because Donald Trump, that was one of his major campaign issues in 2016, right? I think most people understand the Democrats did not give him what he needed in terms of building the wall. And then when Trump's policies got reversed, first couple of days of the Biden administration, I think it's dawning on everyone that the situation on the border dramatically changed, that this is going to fall in the lap of Joe Biden. When we're talking about these cases that have hit the news of some of these illegals who have committed murders, heinous crimes like rape, I don't think we have the actual numbers of how many of these are being committed by those who have come across our border illegally. A lot of this is probably happening in blue states who aren't going to keep track on who's quote unquote illegal and who isn't, mm-hmm. because they don't like using that terminology. There's no telling how many of these kinds of heinous crimes have been committed.
Hey, the other day that, I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
That was it.
The other day that Joe Biden said he takes back using the term illegal. Remember that? He said that,
right. He apologized.
He used the term illegal during the State of the Union address. He got in trouble by the media and the left, and he said, I'm sorry. I mean, undocumented. Should have used the word undocumented. My question is, what does undocumented mean? Huh? Doesn't it mean the same thing as illegal?
It does, except that the left continues to use, as their defense of the Biden administration's policy, they say no human being is illegal, which is it's a ridiculous argument, all right? They're implying that when you say illegal alien or illegal immigrant, that you're somehow saying they're subhuman. Nobody's saying that. We're saying they arrived here illegally, but the whole premise behind the left's push to allow unfettered immigration into this country is we've got to help the poor of the world. That's why they say they're not illegal. These are suffering human beings, so let them in.
They're trying to take away the stigma of being here illegally.
Yeah.
Right? Right. Yeah. So you change the terminology. In fact, I found myself, I used to call them people here illegal aliens.
Right.
Which is the true definition.
Yeah.
They're aliens who are here in our country illegally. That doesn't mean they're not human.
Right.
And now you can't even, undocumented is unacceptable anymore. You must call them migrants.
Yes.
And migrants alone. That's the only terminology that the left will allow. So I find myself falling prey to that change in verbiage as well. I mean, after you hear it time and time again, that's their point. That's what they want.
Well, and undocumented makes it sound like, well, it's just an oversight. I let my driver's license lapse.
Therefore, I'm undocumented.
Yeah, I'm undocumented. And that takes the focus off the fact that they came into this country breaking the law, and they should be sent back.
Yeah, it, when you say somebody's here and they're undocumented, like you're saying, the implication is my documents are at home in the dresser drawer.
Yes, that's right.
I forgot them. I forgot them, therefore I'm undocumented, but otherwise I'm legal, you know.
Right.
So, a lot hinges on the election in the fall, you know, about how, what kind of priority it is to the American people that the Democrats have decided to allow millions of people to come here, you know, and are they going to allow, if they don't suffer the ballot box in the fall, then, you know, floodgates are going to be open.
Then we're toast.
The floodgates are going to be open even further.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about this, the border issue, but I just mentioned a moment ago, when talking about Haiti, this Biden administration CHNV parole program, which stands for Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela. Guys, listen to this. This program, the CHNV program, allows up to 30,000 people each month, 30,000 people each month from these countries to fly into the U.S. and be granted 2 years of humanitarian parole, which allows them to apply to work in the U.S. 30,000 a month. This is an addition to the border. 30,000 being flown at taxpayer expense from these countries every month.
And they don't, they can apply to work, but they don't have to.
Yeah.
Right? They would receive welfare payments.
Yeah.
At this point, I'm going to put my hands over my ears and I'm just going, la, 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 la. I don't want to hear anymore because this is insanity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to lead to the destruction of our country if it continues. And so, and the left-wing media, they're fostering this. Then you got the hard left who don't believe in borders at all. And anyway, all right, next story, Fred.
Well, we'll talk about former President Trump, what he was up to this weekend. He was in Ohio campaigning there. There's a primary there tomorrow, but the focus mainly is on the Senate race within the Republican Party. But in a speech there when he was campaigning in Ohio, former President Trump talked about if he is elected, he is going to stop the importation of all kinds of vehicles built in Mexico with Chinese sponsorship. All right. So he said, if I'm elected, I'm going to put 100% tariff on these cars coming in from Mexico. And he said, if I'm not elected, there's going to be a bloodbath. And the context was in the auto industry. So have a listen to what he had to say as cut number two. And then we'll come back with audio of how the mainstream media interpreted what the former president said. Cut number two.
Let me tell you something to China. If you're listening, President Xi, and you and I are friends, but he understands the way I deal, those big monster car manufacturing plants that you're building in Mexico right now, and you think you're going to get that, you're going to not hire Americans, and you're going to sell the cars to us now, we're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line, and you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I get elected, now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole, that's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country.
All right, that's what he had to say. Bloodbath in connection with the auto industry. He doesn't get elected, the auto industry in this country is going to be decimated. That's what he was saying. Now, listen to what the mainstream media did with that speech. Cut one.
What I heard was a continuation of the same rhetoric, the same endorsement of political violence that we've seen from Donald Trump for years, as you pointed out. It goes even farther back.
We are all desensitized and inured to the extraordinary, remarkable, and very, at times, un-American and threatening things that the former president is saying.
We can't take him, you know, look at what he's saying and think, oh, well, we're going to be accurate for this. We're going to say he was referring to the auto industry.
That last part just shook me. We can't interpret it correctly. We right. have to interpret it as meaning there's going to be an actual bloodbath if Donald Trump is reelected.
Well, that first, who was the first person? Do you know the first voice after? Anyways, one of the people in the media.
Yes.
It was very telling that he said, what I heard him say was, parentheses, violence, violence in the streets. That is an honest statement. That's what people on the left hear because that is their perception of what Donald Trump is all about political violence. And it was clear from anyone who listened to that part of the speech that he was talking about the economic bloodbath and the destruction of the auto industry because you can't have Chinese vehicles being produced in Mexico, not paying U.S. workers, and then expect to undersell the vehicles being produced here in this country. And that's clear. And if these people were honest, they would have said so.
I agree with you fellers on that one. He was talking about economically. He wasn't talking about violence in the streets. There was the former president, President Trump, when he used the expression bloodbath. Let me ask you this about, I don't know exactly all the details of what he's talking about. I didn't know that. I was unaware that. So China is manufacturing cars in Mexico.
I think that is the plan, isn't it?
What is a Chinese car? What's it called?
I don't know. I'm gonna. I have no idea.
That's the first I heard of that. That's
when,
why
when President Trump mentioned that. That was the first thing. I know they have a big belt, what they call the Belt and Road Initiative, where China is trying to, by spending money in countries, they're trying to bring their influence, carry their influence around.
Well, type it in, see what you get there from Mr. Google.
Okay.
Ed, I didn't know China made cars. I mean, that they sold internationally.
Okay, so this, okay.
Say. You can trust Google. Just
okay,
read
so
it.
I don't know what this website is, El País Inglés. So vehicles manufactured in China are accelerating their pace in the Mexican market. So that's different. 20% of the light vehicles sold last year in the Latin American country of Mexico were imported from China. But what President Trump was talking about was building them, Mexican-made cars by Chinese companies. This is the Detroit News. Okay, they're not going to let me.
The Detroit News is not going to let you look at their stuff here.
No, okay, now I can squeeze.
Okay, go ahead.
So cars made in Mexico by Chinese companies. I'm trying to look for a name of what these cars are called. Wow, President Trump was very blunt later on.
What did he say?
I can't say it. you screw us and we'll screw you, he said. I guess that's ugly,
the Chinese?
Yeah.
What? Anyway.
I can't find a name of the company that this would be done under.
I just having a little bit of a difficulty understanding the difference between doing that and China selling us all kind of other products every day, all day. I mean,
yeah,
you can't buy tennis shoes not made in China.
Well, that's true.
What's the difference between that and a car?
The car industry is probably who
we already buy cars from Japan and Germany,
but they're made. But a
not
lot of them
all
are
of
made
them.
In. Yeah, but a lot of them are made in this.
Yeah.
Country.
Yes, Hondas, Toyotas, they're made in this country. I think you know. There's the political edge here is that Trump claims that even in 2020. Even though the auto union people endorsed Biden, Trump argues that he is getting the workers in the plants.
Right.
And his argument is that the auto industry in this country and those jobs are going to be decimated unless something is done with cars made offshore, in this case, Mexico.
Gotcha. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. But the main point of that story is that the word bloodbath, which Trump used, is talking about economic bloodbath. If he's not elected, he wasn't talking about violence in the streets, although that's what the mainstream media is trying to make it out to be.
Yes.
You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Listen, sometimes and oftentimes Trump's language gets him in trouble. Mm-hmm. It's not fair. Okay. Oftentimes we've documented that many times when he says, I want to be dictator, but just for one day. Okay. When he says that, that's going to be, how do you think the left and the media is going to take that? They're not going to say just for one day. And they're going to say, what's his intention? He wants to be a dictator. That's what he wants to be. So it's going to play to their audience. That's what I'm saying. When he says things like that, I would say don't say something like that, okay? Use some other kind of terminology. But he lets it fly, so to speak. Go ahead.
I did find the name of at least a company. It's called BYD. I'm not sure what that stands for. This article,
Bring your
CBT
own drinks,
News.
I think. Isn't that what it stands for?
I don't know. It's probably Chinese for something. But this article calls BYD a Tesla rival and one of China's largest automakers, confirmed plans to build an electric vehicle production plant in Mexico with the primary goal of opening a portal to the U.S. car market. So BYD is the name of this Chinese company.
You know, there's also an eternal argument about free market versus protectionism. You know, in the U.S., we believe in free markets, but then some people believe free markets are hurtful to the American worker and to the American economy. There's always been that tension there on that about all kinds of industries, not just the automobile.
The automobile industry in this country does punch above its weight, so to speak, in terms of its past political influence. So there's not really a sneaker industry per se that you know has the kinds of votes that maybe the UAW or the AFL-CIO can try to bring to bear. But the auto industry does. And this is to your earlier point. We do buy a lot of products from China, and we all know you go and you look at the label of where almost anything is produced. My wife blew my mind one time about 5 years ago. She told me she wasn't going to buy. I asked her to give me some salmon, and the place where she was buying some salmon, she said, all they do is sell salmon from China, and I'm not giving any money to China. I don't trust their fish. And I said, salmon from China. What are you talking about? So it was Sam's Club. So the next time we went, she showed me all the salmon was shipped from China, and I thought
that's pretty amazing. You think it'd spoil?
Well, I'm sure it's frozen.
I know,
solid. But to the point, if you're getting salmon from China,
right?
Just about everything.
There's no
buy.
Hope for our country if we're getting salmon. We're also getting catfish from Vietnam.
Yeah. What's wrong with good old American catfish?
I didn't realize you get salmon from.
Well, you guys ever watch Deadliest Catch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
You're talking about the guys in Alaska?
Guys in Alaska. But many times they show these fishermen on Deadliest Catch. They know where the line is, the Chinese fishing waters, and they set their nets right up close to that line because the Chinese fishing vessels are just on that other side. They're all after the same fish.
Right.
You know, salmon doesn't recognize the state line.
Right.
It doesn't surprise me at all that China, they're catching the same fish.
We went to get some salmon. We were at the beach for family vacation last year, and we were going to grill out one night. We went to get some salmon.
Salmon?
They're red.
Wait, please tell me you didn't eat some of that commie salmon.
Well, just give me a second here. I didn't see any Chinese salmon, but they did have salmon for like they could have been imported like from I think it was Chile,
mm-hmm.
or Chile, one of Peru, one of those South American countries.
I'm good with South America if it comes from South
salmon,
America.
But anyway, they had been imported here. But
well, next time, just as an experiment,
yeah.
You know, you don't want to get. Listen, I know your sons, Wesley and Walker.
Yeah,
and they better not find out if you ask the waiter. I'm saying, if you ask the waiter in front of everybody,
right.
Where's this salmon coming from? And if they say China, I know Wesley and Walker are going to say, no, we're not. We don't want any of it. So you may have to pull the waiter aside. But as an experiment, say, where does this salmon come from? And if they say it comes from Washington State or it comes from Alaska or it comes from British Columbia, then you're good.
Well, I think that, I think we wanted to spend 10 minutes of our show talking about where salmon comes from, but I think it's either, most of it's either farmed. Do you believe that?
Salmon?
Salmon is farmed.
It's not as good as the wild caught.
No.
Or you get the wild, you can, they'll have to advertise it as wild. Yeah. You can
and
get,
they do.
Yeah, wild like caught. Salmon from the Atlantic Ocean or something like that. Or from, mm-hmm. or from the, yeah, but, yeah, well, it's supposed to be, I mean, I switched over pretty much. I used to eat steak all the time. Then I was
Salmon's
told,
good for you.
Yeah, I was told salmon's better for your cholesterol.
It's, and it's
that.
Good. It's I love salmon.
Yeah, so.
My wife doesn't like it. And
well, you check where yours comes from? You said that she's not buying
it. She does. Yes, yeah, she will not buy it.
American China. Made?
No, it's not because it's commie salmon. It's because she thinks that they don't have the standards of health and safety
that we do here in the U.S.
Yeah, we're starting to get far-fetched now, I know.
All right. Well, maybe somebody benefited from that conversation the last five
There were people
minutes.
Out there listening, shaking their head, nodding their heads. That's right, no commie.
Does it really matter standard. Where you get your omega-3 from, people? Does it really matter in the end? Does your heart care? I don't think so. All right, we'll be back momentarily with more of Fishing Today with Tim, Ed, and Fred. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.